if you just want a glimpse on that, this is what we're doing tonight. I want a quick recap of last week. Where is Russ with the knife? Can I quickly get a knife? Who's got a knife again? Altijd. Great. Yes, die man is so blyk vra vir hom sy mes uit te haal. Daai oë gaan. I had an interesting moment with one of the pastors in town. He's into his knives and stuff. And so we both meeting people in Spar. And so the person is sitting this way and the pastor is looking this way. And so I grab a knife on the table and one of the Spar knives. And I show the knife to him. And he's like, whoop, gets a knife out of his pocket. And he shows it back to me. Oh, that was funny. Last week, I started this conversation and we spoke about the sword that heals. I just quickly want to try and get you on one page in 3 minutes. If you're a leader in our church, can I just ask you, I don't ask this a lot, but just download last week with this week. Please listen through it and pray for it. This is very essential for us. What we are doing at this moment is we are preparing our hearts, we're preparing the foundation of this church for the vision that God wants to give us for next year. Now, as we enter November, we're going to talk more vision. We're going to end off December with vision. But tonight, we're still preparing the foundation for what we want to build. Okay, that's where we find ourselves at this moment. Right, Jesus is praying, John 17, and he says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they all also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And then he repeats himself a few times. He says, the glory that you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Second time he says it. He goes on for a third time. He says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Maybe we are one already, and we're saying, God, make us perfectly one. Amen. That's what we said last week. Just before I forget, and I know there is more something. Christian, verjaar vandag. Baie geluk. And so Christian has organized coffee and tea and snacks for everyone afterwards. So please stay and enjoy it. Thanks, Christian. Just quickly, what we said last week is, I don't know who of you can recall the scripture where Christ says, I don't come to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. Who can recall that? Okay. Very interesting, because he says, Father, I pray they'll be one. They'll be perfectly one. But another stage, he says, I don't bring peace, I bring a sword. It seems like he's contradicting himself. Just quickly, this is the message of last week. The moment you are next to the fishing waters like Peter, Christ comes past and he says, follow me. And you follow Christ, you tear yourself out of life as you know it. And you follow him. In this world, what it means for us, for you, your family, your friends, your people at work, is the moment your relationship with Christ supersedes everything, there's a sword that comes and divides you from the life you used to be in. And it's a painful process. You no longer fall into the habit you used to, and maybe your friends will tell you, but you changed. You don't want to be my friend anymore. Can you see the sword? Can you see what it does? It cuts you away. It's very painful. That's your cost of being free. That's you escaping the prison of this world. It involves relationships. Maybe I'm just giving an example. Maybe you are the owner of a shop in a town that distributes all the alcohol, and you know what happens. All the farmers come, everyone come, all the workers, and you know that your shop is doing something in this town, and then you come to Christ. And you close that place down. And what you are doing is there's a sword that comes between you and your income. Can you see that? So that's what happened. There is a sword that comes, and your friends will say, the other people, what are you doing? You're crazy, and you know, you're supposed to look after us, and then you cry, and there's a relationship that breaks, but you esteem Christ more valuable. Can you see that sword? Right. And so what happens is, at the initial stages of being a believer, you're getting so used to people saying stuff to you that hurts you. It's very hard to become a believer. It's not for the faint of heart. I'm telling you now. And I want to commend you. If you've been serving God for a few years, let me tell you what, you're not here by accident. It's grace that takes you there. But then we read in Psalm 141, I'm almost done with last week. Look at what this man says. He says, do not let my heart incline to any evil. to busy myself with wicked deeds, David is praying, in the company of men who work iniquity, and let not me eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It is kindness. And let him rebuke me. It is oil for my hand. What David is saying is that we know there's a sword that divides. Christ told us about that. But David is speaking about a knife, a surgical knife, where a brother comes to another brother with an object that's very sharp to help him cut away the sin out of his life. Can you see that? Let the righteous come to me with the sword, and I will stand still. That's what he's saying, that he may cut. And I will trust in Christ in him. But what happens is, as we come to God, we receive so much pain from people with a sword that divides. As we grow in Christ and He wants to teach us about having real relationship, when someone comes in love, the only thing we know is our past, and so we run away from the sword that heals. Why does it heal? Because it cuts away the cancer that's growing in you. Sin. All right? That is the gist of last week, the sword that heals. There is such a sword. What we said is that sword always comes from the front. A brother will always come face to face. I've got something sharp in my hand. This is very hard for me, but I want to talk to you about an area of your life. And I prayed and I cried. I didn't want to share this with you, but I want to be honest. Can you see that? It's visible. The sword that divides comes from the back. It comes from this side. Okay. Are you with me? Right. Father, because you're getting so strong. Right. And so what we said is embrace the sword of life in the process of becoming one. Right. This week, being one, part two. Swords, logs, and rocks. I couldn't find more words to tell to. I want to say blogs, but that wouldn't make sense. Or frogs. But any case. I've got scriptures on swords, logs, and rocks. I put it in there. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Another translation says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Here's the thing. Who of you love to hang out with your friends? Just hands up. Hands up quickly. Chill out. Okay. Bright place, boyki. Bring it. Mafia. Catan. No. Darts. The interesting thing is about with a darts board is if you've got anger issues and your friends there, but it's there. It is very easy to build and maintain friendships as you chill together. It's nice, it's fun. There's chips, there's cookies, there's gogos, panakukan, there's caramel and Astros. There's chills, yeah. Drink coffee. It's great. We must have it. But the challenge is not hanging together. The challenge is once you start to walk together. Now, my second mission trip, I was on my way to Zimbabwe. Yo, and the mission team meets every week in Stellenbosch and we worship and we together, we one, you know, it's just awesome. We share testimonies with one another. We love one another until one moment happens. We must pack the trailer for the mission. Because five guys knows how to pack a trailer. And not one of those ways are the same as the other one. And so, just the moment as we move from chilling to going, we start to fight. That's exactly how it works spiritually. If you chill, easy peasy. Once you go, friction. One of my friends on missions, extremely hard for me. By day four, day five, I realize every morning we worship together as he lifts his arms. There is let's say it's not a freshness. That I'm sure the worship is a great fragrance before God, but I realize that as he when he thinks of missions, the lekker bar, this all's great. Other essential parts of being mankind is also left, you know, his priority list. And now I need to tell him, I know this is missions, but yay stink. And everyone knows it. But everyone is scared. You see, when we go, we are in one another's space for long enough to notice these things. Who will tell him? I don't know, God. I will pray for him. and stand on the other side of the room. So today we're going to two parts of Zimbabwe. I'll go to that side for this. You see, when we go, we need to come to agreement. We need to agree on how we do relationship. We need to do it. Or we will be a staying church. Amen? We are going somewhere next year. And what we are doing tonight is we are preparing. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. Wat doen die oxen in die manger? Wat doen hulle? Ja.
Hulle skei uit wat hulle geëet het.
That's what happens. Okay. When there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Here's the thing. As a church, we want to do great things for God. Amen. Ons wil omtrent boer. Next level. We don't need one ox. We need 500 other things. What's going to happen? Going to have mission moments in this place. Poofy, okay? That's what's going to happen. If you want to have ox, you must be willing to clean the place where they stay. But when they walk out, they work the whole day. And so to take 10 minutes, sit up your knees, coming in with a hose pipe, working, spray painting the place, and letting him sleep in a clean place is no problem. Because tomorrow he gets out and works the whole day. What is your expectation when we go? It's going to get messy. Are you ready? Who's ready for mess? Okay. Need to be ready. There's a poofie wat jou kant toe kom. I wanted to say. And there I said, Rohani, you just love it. Huh? You know, I deal with these things in my house the whole day. You know, with the potty training and everything. So I'm becoming very comfortable around different parts of being human. I used to just believe as a young person that those kind of things does not exist, but they do. I know any style. It's amazing. It's amazing. But where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. Amen. What a blessing it is to have offspring. They were meant to us. Amazing. We want to have spiritual offspring, isn't that true? Right, let's get into it. The judging dilemma, Matthew 7, this one. We have spoken about this. We're going to touch on it quickly. Christ is saying to the cross, judge not, that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the pressure you use, or with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? You see, judge not. That's what we see here. Let's just go to the next verse because we've got a problem. In Galatians, we see, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, in any sin, if it comes to the light that someone is struggling with someone's in sin, whether big or small, you who are spiritual, you who are a believer, should restore him. You should go to your brother in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. So to fulfill the law of Christ. The one side, we see this prayer, we see this speech, do not judge. On the other side, if your brother is in transgression, you must restore him. You must go to him. What's the thing? Just go to the next slide. Regis, I just saw I messed up my slides a bit, so I'll just tell you where to go, okay? Can you go to slide number 14, please. Judge not that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, you will be measured. First thing about this, you need to understand this. You need to make a mark in your Bible. Everything about this passage aims to the fact that one should not have a critical spirit about another human. This is what Christ is saying. One should not have one's heart at a place where the way you see and speak about one person to another person breaks down who that person is. That is having a judgmental heart. All right? There's a place where to judge means to make a decision. Okay? There's a place where we need to come into one another's lives and make decisions and judge. What Christ is saying is a critical spirit is not what should be in the heart of a believer. That's what he's saying. And he's going to explain it. So that's the first thing. The idea of expressing a negative opinion about someone. The second thing, just check it out. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, you will be measured. Let me give you an example. You're in a small group, and your small group leaders, they are married, and they're going through a very difficult time in their marriage. Very difficult. They fight. They're open about it. Sometimes in small group, you see one of them cried. It's a very difficult, it's a very tender situation. And so the one way you can deal with this is a way we see in Galatians. Can we quickly go to that verse, Regis? If a brother is caught in any transgression, sin, or difficult time, same thing. You are spiritual, should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Thank you. You can go back, Regis. So you could go to that person. You can say, listen, I brought Vian with me. We see you guys are struggling. Can we wash your feet? Can we just sit at your feet and pray for you? Tomorrow night, we're watching your kids. You guys are going out. We'll pay for it. What have you done? You've come and you've judged. We can see it is not going great with you. Here we are to serve. Can you see that? Can you see the love, the gentleness that Galatians 1, Galatians 6 speaks of? Now, for the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. Imagine you are in a difficult place in your life and God comes to you and treats you exactly like that. That's what the scripture says. He comes to you and he sits at your feet and says, we're going to get through this. You're in a difficult place. You messed up. Here I am. Can you see? Guys, can you see that? The opposite. Vian en ek sien, ons selgebleers gaan deur 'n moeilike tyd. We go, not to them, to Vessel. Vessel, have you seen what's going on in Cole and Sumari's marriage? It's a shame that believers go through a marriage like that. You know what, Vessel, actually you should be our small group leader. Because scripture says your house must be in order. Doesn't matter how many scriptures. Can you see where my heart's at? Now what if I am in a difficult place and God should come to me like that? Let that day never come. This is what Christ is talking about. This is what he's onto. Are you with me tonight, everyone? How do you want to be judged? Another bad thing you can do is to eliminate yourself and always say, hey, judging, I don't have an opinion. It's so bad, you never help anyone. You need to get stuck in, but with a right heart. We need that heart if we're going to walk together next year. This is what we need, people. This is the foundation before we go with vision. We can't have vision, have great plans for this place, and we end up running around while we fight. We're offended with one another. We sorted out with a foundation, then we built. Check out Christ handles the situation. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, placing her in the midst. And they said to Jesus, teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. She might have been a prostitute that slept with another woman's husband. I don't know where the man is. She might have been a committed wife who was caught having intimacy with another man. Now the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? They've got the situation summed up perfectly, but they come with rocks in their hand. Let's put an end to this woman. Let's finish her. What does Christ say? Same situation. Same truth. He knows what she did. He speaks. Next slide. He says, after the guys didn't want to stone her physically because Christ was there. If he wasn't there, what would have happened? We're not sure. But he says, neither do I condemn you. Now, from now on, sin no more. Is Christ ignoring the fact that she was sleeping around? No, he's addressing it. And this is how he addresses it. I'm not condemning you. But as you go from here, back there. Can you see what he's doing? And then he says, I'm the light. This is how you do it. I'm the light of the world. My friends can speak to me like that. I can take that. Because it's a sword that heals. It comes from the front. Are they still? The Pharisees judged, but their heart was to kill, to separate. And when Christ comes, he judges, he says, with the intention of restoring or to give life. Where do we want to be? How are we going to have a relationship? Number one, practical steps for this week. I'm going to give you a few. Ask God to make you a life-giving friend. Exchange rocks for restoration. Life-giving friend. A life-giving friend is not allowed to stay silent because it doesn't make him a great friend. But he comes to restore, comes to uplift, comes to wash that feet, comes to walk next to that person. Carry a burden. The problem is the burden is your friend. So you need to get his arm over your head and walk. That's how you come in with information. Ready to walk. Does that make sense? Let's go on. I'm just going to go on in this conversation. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? That's the same part we're carrying on. But do not notice the log that is in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. Not a nice thing when Jesus calls you that. First take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Why is there a log in that person's eye? I'll give you my version. You can pray and decide whether you want to keep it. This is an unteachable person. Ends up with a log in their eye. Because there's a splinter to start off with. Then a friend comes to him and says, Hanu, I've been noticed how you speak with a style, and it's funny now, but I don't think it's going to do great in marriage. Don't you want to pray about, just, I know you've got a personality that loves to joke, and we all love it about you, but I'm just picking up, I'm just making up a story, it's a joke. I'll sort it out in private if there's a reason. At this moment, this is me, okay? And this thing is going to take out something out of the eye. I think you really should consider how you speak with her and the gentleness. Now what he does is, he decides in his heart, rubbish. I will not listen to you. And so the speck stays in his eyes. 2 weeks' time, vessel goes to Hanu. God sends these people. Says, Hanu, I'm not seeing you around a lot anymore. And you used to be in church like always. And you seem isolated. Are you okay? And Hanu decides, I'm not going to listen. There's another speck. And it builds up and it forms a log. Gemorshout. Klomp klein stukkies. Unteachable person. Refusal upon refusal upon refusal. You become blind. You cannot see anymore. Christ says, Scripture says, you lose the ability to see. You no longer can add value to your friends because you can't see, spiritually speaking. Now, when a blind person comes to you with a knife, I tell you what, run for the door. Because it's not going to end up well. Are you with me? To be unteachable affects your vision. You start making bad decisions on your own faith, bad decisions with the people around you. And so this is what's going to happen. As time goes on, you're going to have only new friends. Because those that's going to be around for years, they will run. And you're going to become lonely. And this is going to turn you into a critical person. And so Christ says, when such a person wants to tell you something, it's hard to receive. And so we understand what he's saying. It's very difficult to receive from an unteachable person. If you know that person never listens, and they come to talk to you, you don't want to hear. And Christ says, that's okay. Now, number two, ask someone you trust this week if there's any splinters in your life that you are unaware of. For our guys, it's members here. This is a challenge. I want you guys to do this. If you are visiting, you're welcome to join in. This is that thing that will protect your vision. Now, what you do is you go to the right person, right? Someone you can trust with a knife, and you say, you may speak with me. Amen? What are you doing here? You are taking a humble position where topics that's very vulnerable and touchy may come across the table towards you. And here's just a tip. Remember this. That person or a person can know the Bible, make 20 Facebook posts a week, post all the Bethel songs on Facebook. Let me tell you what. You receive the word from a person. And so before you receive a word, you'd receive a person into your space. And look at who that person is. Amen? So that you can lie still when they've got the knife. I'm going to hurry up before the rain gets us. We're almost done in any case. Again, Proverbs 14 verse 4, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Number three. We can go to the next one. This week, embrace the messiness of unity above the barrenness of isolation. Pray it through this week. How can two walk together unless they agree? But it's okay. We're going to deal with it. Okay, in the day, we walk through the deposits. And then in the evening, we clean it up. And we go. This is a foundation. This is not where we're going. This is our vehicle. If we have this, we can go. If we don't have this, we are running around like a toddler creche. One this way, one that way. But we're not going to do that. Being one. Amen. Can we have the band off up and can we finish off with a song? That will be great. I want us just to tie our hearts together and worship. We're nice and early tonight. What we're going to do, if you're a small group leader, just check also if your small group leader is not here. But we've got a small group that I designed for this week specifically to take this heart through to small groups. So small group leaders, just come and grab one of these at the end. What we're going to do with this is we're going to marinate in this like a good steak until we understand it. We're going to talk about it, pray about it. We're going to exercise it until we become experts in loving like Christ. Amen? Why is it so amazing? It always does something to my heart, and I believe for some of you as well, when you see two people gray hair, slightly bent over, struggling to walk, holding hands. Why? You know they've got this down. They've been through the school of life. But God can teach us these things when we are still young, if we ask Him to. Amen? And so we're going to do this. Let's stand up and let's just give our hearts to God for a moment.